ان الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن الا وانتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد إن أصدق الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. With regards to tonight's lesson, we mentioned previously that the author رحمه الله تعالى mentioned the affair. If it is said to the individual, what are the usul al-thalatha, which are obligatory upon the individual to know, then the person should say, ya ma'rifatul abd rabbah, that the person should know their Lord. And then the author went on to mention, who is your Lord, and how do you know your Lord? And the author mentioned the proofs for that. He said, who is your Lord, and how do you know your Lord? And the author mentioned the proofs for that. And keep in mind that when the author mentioned who is your Lord and how do you know your Lord, he mentioned the individual should say the ayatihi wa makhluqatihi, that a person should say, I know him with his signs and with his creation. So you know Allah Azza wa Jal by the proofs. At the same time, when we come to this point where the author is mentioning ma'rifatu din al-islami bil adilla, that the person knows the religion of Islam also based on the proofs. So we understand that which he mentioned previously about knowing Allah Azza wa Jal based on the proofs, and those proofs are two types, that which is created and that which is not created. That which is created, such as the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, and everything which is on it, and everything which is above it, and that which is not created, such as the books which were sent by Allah Azza wa Jal. Those inform us about Allah. So we know our Lord Tabarak wa Ta'ala based on proofs, and likewise we know the religion of Islam based on proofs. So it is not sufficient that an individual merely claims to believe, but the individual should know the religion of Islam based on proofs. Shaykh Salih Fawzan Hafiz Allah Ta'ala, he mentioned, I am anna ma'rifati deen al-Islam la taqoola bit-taqdeed, that knowing the religion of Islam is not based on blind following. It is not based on blind following. He said, al-deenu la bud lahu min adilla min al-kitab wa sunnah, that the religion of Islam, it is incumbent that the individual knows it based on proofs from the book and from the sunnah. أما الإنسان الذي لا يعرف دينه وإنما يقلد الناس ويكون إمعة مع الناس فهذا من يعرف دينه. So the proof of, so the religion of Islam is based on proofs. Proofs from the book and proofs from the sunnah. But the individual who does not know his deen, but instead he blind follows, and he is with the people, then this, any, whichever the direction the people go in, whoever the people are upon, that's where he's upon. فَهَذَا لَنْ يَعْرِفْ دِينَهُ, this person has truly not known his religion. This person has truly not known his religion. Then he says, وَحَرِيٌّ بِهِ أَنَّهُ إِذَا سُئِلَ عَنْهُ فِي الْقَبْرِ أَنْ يَقُولَ هَا لَا أَدْرِي سَمِعْتَ النَّاسَ يَقُولُونَ شَيْءٍ فَقُلْتُ. Shaykh Hafiz Allah Ta'ala mentioned the individual who does not know his deen with proofs, then it is possible that when this individual is asked about his religion in the grave, that this individual would say, I don't know. I heard the people say something, and I said it. I heard the people say something, and I said it. And this hadith actually is mentioned in the Muslim Imam Ahmed and many other books of hadith. The hadith of Al-Bara bin Azib, with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's a long hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that once an individual dies, and the angels come to this individual and they sit him up in his grave, and they say to that individual, "Who is your Lord?" And that individual would say, "I don't know. I heard the people say something, so I said it." And they would say to him, "What is your religion?" He would say, "I don't know. I heard the people say something, so I said it." And they would say, "Who is the man? Ma hadha ar-rajul alladhi bu'itha fikum? Who is this man who has been sent to you?" He says, "Ha ha, I don't know. I heard the people say, and I said it." And then Allah Azza wa Jalla would call out that this individual has lied. So give him a place in the hellfire. And then a door will be opened to the hellfire for this individual. So this hadith, this long hadith of Al-Bara bin Azib, radiallahu ta'ala, who is informing of this reality, and that is that an individual, it's upon him to know his religion with the proofs. It's not upon an individual to follow others, no, it's upon an individual to seek out the proofs. It's upon an individual to seek out the proof, and this will be one of the reasons why an individual will confirm in this life and in the next life. An individual knows his religion based on proofs. This would allow the individual to be firm in this life and in the next life. As Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, يَثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. Verily, Allah would give the believers a firm statement in this life and in the next life. Allah will give the believers a firm statement in this life and in the next life. That firm statement is Tawheed. So the individual has to know their religion based on proofs. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he sent Mu'adh bin Jabal to Yemen, he said, "Verily, you are going to a place of the people of the book. So teach them that there's no deity worthy of worship except Allah. Teach them." He didn't say, "Tell them." He didn't say, "Tell them." He said, "Teach them that there's no deity worthy of worship except Allah, and I'm the messenger of Allah." And if they believe that, then inform them about the salat. And if they believe that, then inform them about zakat. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu that he has to teach the people. Not that he only informs the people. So this is one of the reasons why an individual would be firm in this life and in the next when they know the religion of Islam based on proofs. And because of that reality, you have individuals that come into Islam in the West, they come into Islam in America, or they come into Islam in England, and they are told something, and they enter into the fold of Islam. The reality is the individual doesn't take it upon themselves to learn. They don't take it upon themselves to learn the proofs. They don't take it upon themselves to learn that which is in the Quran of Tawheed, that which is in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of Tawheed. And unfortunately, individuals go several years, and then we find individuals turning back on their heels. We find individuals turning back on their heels. Because of that, and the way of the Salaf rahimahullah ta'ala is that when an individual would enter into the fold of Islam, they would teach that person the introduction to the religion. They would teach that person the beginner's level of the religion. They were very cautious in how they dealt with an individual that entered into the fold of Islam. And because of that, we find the scholars of the past and the scholars of the present, then mentioning, مثلاً, if you were to ask the scholars, what book should a person read? They tell you, you should read this book first, and then once you finish that book and understand it thoroughly, and you could read this book, and then once you finish that book and understand it thoroughly. And a person that will come into the fold of Islam today, and the scholar say, read Aqidat al-Tadmuriyah. Read al-Tadmuriyah. Or read, you know, such and such, al-Ibana. Or read al-Iyat-Hisam by Imam al-Shatibi. No. They tell them the books that you start with is al-Usul al-Thalatha. The books that you start with is al-Qawad al-Arba. So this is very important that an individual learns their religion when they come into the fold of Islam, and they learn their religion with tadarruj. They learn it in stages. After the person comes into Islam today and the first book he opens is Sahih Bukhari and he starts reading. Oh. The ulama said that a person comes into Islam, if they want to read about hadith, they should start with Al-Arba'in al-Nawawiyyah. So the scholars, walillahilhamd, the scholars taught the individuals
the religion, and they taught them with the darruj. They taught them in stages and in levels. So this is very important that an individual, when he comes into the fold of Islam, they have to learn فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Know that there is no deity worthy of worship. فَبَدَأَ بِالْعِلْمِ قَبْلَ الْقَوْلِ وَالْعَمَلِ. So Allah began with knowledge before statements and actions. So we have to have knowledge about our religion, and it's upon those individuals who are responsible in the West, in the masajid, and in the Islamic centers, that they have a firm, they have a solid, curriculum. They have a solid, course of teaching the people who come into the fold of Islam. They have a solid course of teaching the people who come into the fold of Islam. Not everyone that comes into the fold of Islam today, if not everyone that comes in the fold of Islam today, is befitting for them to sit in whatever lesson is being taught in the masjid. That may not be the case. That may not be the case. It was mentioned, Sheikh Abdullah al-Bukhari, hafizahullah ta'ala, he mentioned that Sheikh Muhammad Iman Jabir, rahimahullah ta'ala, that when he used to teach his lesson, he would tell the people, this lesson is not for you. You're a beginner. You shouldn't sit in this lesson. This lesson is not for you. Or this lesson is for you, and the likes of that. He used to specifically tell his students which lessons were befitting for them and which lessons were not, befitting for them. So this type of thing should be focused on in the Islamic communities. So the author mentions, rahimahullah ta'ala, ma'rifatu deen al-Islam bil-adillah. So we should know the religion of Islam with its proofs. Proofs from the Quran and proofs from the Sunnah. And the Sheikh Salih Fawzan mentioned, hafizahullah ta'ala, فَالْوَاجِبُ عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ أَنْ يَعْرِفَ دِينَهُ بِالْأَدِلَّةِ مِنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ وَمِنْ سُنَّةِ رَسُولِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ وَلَا يَعْرِفَ هَذَا إِلَّا بِالْتَعَلُّمِ. Sheikh Salih Fawzan, hafizahullah ta'ala, mentioned, he says, so it is obligatory that the individual knows the religion of Islam with proofs from the Book of Allah and from the Sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and he cannot do so except by learning. He cannot do so except by learning. Then the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, goes on to say, وَهُوَ الْإِسْتِسْلَامُ لَهُ بِالتَّوْهِيدِ وَالْإِنْقِيَادُ لَهُ بِالطَّاعَةِ وَالْبَرَاءَةُ مِنَ الشِّرْكِ وَأَهْلِهِ. He goes on to mention four things of Islam. The first is that, and this is the definition of Islam, that we submit to Allah Azawajal with Tawheed. We submit to Allah with Tawheed. We come into the religion of Islam with Tawheed. As Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, in the deen inda Allah Islam. Verily, the religion with Allah is Islam. And likewise, Allah Ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum Wa Atmamtu Alaykum Ni'mati Wa Raditu Lakum Al-Islam. Today, Allah mentions in Surah Al-Ma'idah today, I've completed your religion. I have completed my blessing upon you, and I am pleased with Islam as your religion. So Allah Ta'ala mentioned Islam. Islam has its general definition and has its specific definition. The general definition of Islam is that which the author is mentioning now. The general definition of Islam is that which the author is mentioning now, is to submit to Allah with Tawheed and to obey with obedience, and to abstain and abandon all forms of shirk and the people of shirk. It's because of that, Sheikh Salih Fawzan, hafizahullah ta'ala, he mentioned four things. One is that you submit to Allah with Tawheed. Two is that you obey with obedience, meaning actions. Three is that you abandon all forms of shirk. And four, that you abandon the people of shirk. So that you abandon the people of shirk. And the reason why I said that is the general definition of Tawheed, because that is what all of the prophets and messengers were upon. All of the prophets and messengers were upon Tawheed. They were upon obedience. They were upon abstaining from shirk, and they were upon abstaining from the people of shirk. And the proof for that is what the author mentioned. He mentioned the proof later on in the book, where he's going to mention, well, the author is going to mention the tafsir of the Shahada in Surah Zukhruf, the statement of Ibrahim to his father and to his people, and that's going to come later on. But because all of the prophets and messengers were upon this, they say that all of the prophets and messengers were upon Tawheed.
they were all upon Tawheed. But the specific definition of Tawheed is the final religion that was sent by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's the final religion that was sent by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And of course, it is to submit to Allah, obedience to your actions, abstaining from shirk and the likes of that. But you have a general definition of Tawheed and you have the specific definition of Tawheed. So when you say, and somebody might say, okay, but it's still unclear. When you say that the prophets and the messengers were upon Tawheed, when you say that the prophets and the messengers were upon Tawheed, even the ones that came before the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you mean they were upon Tawheed? Afwan, when you say the prophets and the messengers were upon Islam, when you say that the prophets and the messengers were upon Islam, the ones who came before the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which means they were upon Tawheed, which means they were upon obedience, which means they were abstaining from shirk, and they were abstaining from the people of shirk. But when you say Islam is the religion that I follow, meaning you follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the religion that he propagated and that he taught sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, so in continuing, so these are the pillars. These are that which started by mentioning about the definition of an Islam. And وَهُوَ ثَلَاثُ مَرَاتِبٍ. An Islam, or the religion of Islam, has three categories. It has three categories, or it has three levels. الإسلام والإيمان والإحسان. Submission, faith, and perfection. Submission, faith, and perfection. And before we go into the categories of submission and faith and perfection, al-Islam wal-Iman wal-Ihsan, I mean, the reality of submission to Allah Azza wa Jal is tremendous. Submission to Allah Azza wa Jal, at least Islam wal-Illahi bi-Tawheed, is tremendous. So much as Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned in his Majmu' al-Fatawa, he said, حَقِيقَةُ الْإِسْلَامِ أَنْ يَسْتَلَمْ لِلَّهِ لَا لِغَيْرِهِ وَهُوَ مَعْنَى لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala said, the reality of Islam is that you submit to Allah, you totally and completely submit to Allah, not to other than Allah. This is the true meaning of La ilaha illallah. This is the true meaning of La ilaha illallah. And he also said in another part of his Majmu', he said, Islam هو الاستسلام وهو يتضمن الخضوع لله وحده والانقياد له والعبودية لله وحده. He said, Islam is that one submits. And this also means that one humbles himself only to Allah. And he obeys only Allah and he establishes the worship for only Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is the reality of Al-Islam, which is to submit to Allah Azza wa Jal. Then, when we move on, the author mentioned that Islam has three levels. One is Al-Islam, which means to submit to Allah. Two is Al-Iman. And three is Al-Ihsan. Where does this come from? Most of us, or all of us, should know that this comes from the famous hadith of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. The famous hadith of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, when hadith of Umar ibn al-Khattab, who said, "Bainana jalusun inda Rasulullahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ba'da yawm." And all of us, we should know the hadith. And if we can memorize it, it is much better, because it is considered one of the foundations of Islam. This hadith is considered one of the foundations of Islam, and so many books have been written about the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. So many books have been written about the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam because of its tremendous importance and how many benefits you can get from this hadith. Benefits about the religion, benefits about the aqidah, benefits about the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, benefits about the character of the teacher, benefits about the character of the student. It's a lesson in itself. It is a lesson in itself, and you find many books written by the scholars of the past and the scholars of the present on the benefits taken from the hadith of Jibreel. And this is one of the 40 hadiths that Imam al-Nawawi, Imam Yahya ibn Sharaf al-Nawawi, rahimahullah ta'ala, placed in his Arba'in al-Nawawiyyah. So it's very befitting for the Muslim to memorize, especially the individual who claims to be a student of knowledge, especially the individual who claims to be a student of knowledge. So in that hadith, Umar ibn al-Khattab said, we were sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day, and an individual approached us
His clothing was white, his hair was black, and there was no sign of travel on this individual until he sat in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he put his knees next to his knees, he put his hands on his thighs, and then he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam certain questions. In that hadith, Jibreel said, "What is al-Islam?" And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The five pillars of al-Islam." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The five pillars of al-Islam." And then Jibreel said, "And what is Iman?" And the five things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned were actions. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned actions. And تشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله, that you bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. وتقيم الصلاة, you establish the prayer, وتؤتي الزكاة, you give the zakat, وتصوم رمضان, وتحج البيت, إن استطاع إليه سبيلا, and you fast Ramadan, and you make Hajj, you make pilgrimage to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described Islam in that hadith, he described it with five actions. Then Jibreel said, "Umal Iman," and what is Al Iman? What is faith? And the Prophet said, "To believe in Allah, wa malaikatihi, and His angels, wa kutubihi, His books, wa rusulihi, and His messengers, wa yawm al akhir, and the last day, wa qadri khayrihi wa sharrihi, and that you believe in divine decree." And then Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "And what is Al Ihsan? What is perfection?" And Jibreel said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "What is perfection?" And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on to explain to Jibreel what is perfection. So these three things that the author is mentioning about Islam is taken from that hadith, the well-known hadith of Jibreel. Then he mentioned wa kullu martabatin laha arkan, and these three categories, it's like they have subcategories. These three categories, which is Islam, it has subcategories. And that's what we mentioned in the hadith. We need to believe, to bear witness, to make the declaration that there's no deity worthy of worship except Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and to perform the salah. Those are considered the pillars. The pillars are that which something is built on. And if the pillars are not present or they're demolished, then the structure will be demolished. Then the structure will be demolished. So the pillars of Islam are the five pillars. And the pillars of Iman are the six pillars, such as has come in that same hadith that we mentioned, such as has come in the hadith of Jibreel that we mentioned. And the proof for the Shahada, we already mentioned in that hadith, but also in the Quran. Also in the Quran, as Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Ali Imran, and the author mentions this, فَدِلُوا الشَّهَادَ شَهِدَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَأُولِي الْعِلْمِ قَائِمًا بِالْقِسْطِ. The statement of Allah in Surah Ali Imran at the beginning of the Surah. So you have the proofs for the Shahada. Then the author says, وَمَعْنَاهَا لَا مَعْبُودَ فِي حَقٍ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. The meaning of the Shahada is that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. And the reason why the author mentioned that, is because you have individuals that don't know the correct meaning of the Shahada. And many people that don't know the correct meaning of the Shahada, they think that the Shahada means that there's no God except Allah. No. That which is worshipped is considered a God. That which is worshipped is considered a God, as Allah said in the Quran, أَفَرَعَيْتُمَ الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا إِلَاهُمْ هَوَاهُمْ. Allah said, "Have you not seen the people who have taken their desires as their Lord?" You have not seen the people who have taken their desires as their Lord. So those people, you know, to them is their Lord. Allah SWT mentioned in the Quran toward the end of Surah Al-Ma'idah, when Allah SWT said to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, "Did you say to the people, take me, wa ummi ilaheini min dunillah, take me and my mother as gods other than Allah?" Allah subhanahu. You know, and Jesus said, "Glory be to you." So this shows you that anyone which is worshipped other than Allah is considered a God. But is it a true God? No. Is it a true God? No. So some people say the meaning of La ilaha illallah is there is no God except Allah. That's not true. The meaning of La ilaha illallah is that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. There's no deity worthy of worship except Allah. Because if you say there's no God but Allah, then that doesn't bring the issue of Tawheed al-Ubudiyya. That doesn't bring the issue of Tawheed al-Ubudiyya, because they don't realize that they are doing actions which are considered worship to other than Allah Azza wa Jalla. They're doing actions which are considered actions of worship to other than Allah. But when you say, La ma'buda bihaqin illallah, there's no deity that deserves to be worshipped except Allah, then it brings the affair of the ubudiyya. Then it brings the affair of al-ubudiyya. The author says, La ilaha nafiyan jami'a ma yu'badu min dunillah. This is what Sheikh Salaf Omar mentions. The Shahada itself has two pillars. The Shahada, La ilaha illallah, has two pillars. And nephew, what is that? The Shahada itself has two pillars. One is that you negate, and the second is that you affirm. And that's why the author mentioned, نَافِيًا جَمِيعَ مَا يُعْبَدُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ مُحْدِثًا إِلَّا اللَّهِ مُحْدِثًا عَلَى إِبَادَةَ لِلَّهِ. So the meaning of لا إله إلا الله, or the meaning of the Shahada, it has two pillars. One, it has that which it wipes away everything other than Allah Azza wa Jal. It wipes away everything other than Allah, and then it affirms the true ibadah for Allah Azza wa Jal. And that's what the author mentioned, that he says, مَعْنَاهَا لَا مَعْبُودَ بِحَقٍ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. The meaning of the Shahada is that there's no deity worthy of worship except Allah. نَافِيًا جُمِيعَ مَا يَعْبَدُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. You are negating everything which is worship other than Allah. إِلَّا اللَّهِ مُثْبِتًا عَلَى عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ. You are affirming the true worship for Allah. وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. There is no partners to Allah. فِي عِبَادَتِهِ, in His worship, كَمَا أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ فِي مُلْكِهِ. Just that there is no partners in the dominion of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And this is that which the author mentioned. This is that which the author mentioned is the with regards to the mushrikun. This is that which the author mentioned with regards to the mushrikun. That the mushrikun, during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were more aware than the meaning of La ilaha illallah than the Muslims of today. That the mushrikun during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were more aware than the meaning of La ilaha illallah than the people today. Why? Because Allah ta'ala tells you in the Quran in Surah Safat, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا إِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ. The kuffar, during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when it was said to them, and this is in Surah Safat, this is in Surah Safat, the 35th verse, Sheikh Salih Fawzan mentioned Hafizullah Ta'ala, those people, when it was said to them, say La ilaha illallah, they were prideful. They were prideful. Why were they prideful? Because they knew the meaning of La ilaha illallah is that we are negating any other deity other than Allah. Is that we are negating, with this statement, we are negating any other deity other than Allah. And similarly, was even the uncle of the Prophet. Even the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he knew the meaning of La ilaha illallah. The meaning of La ilaha illallah was that I, if I say it right now, that means I'm denying all deities, all idols. I'm denying all deities and I'm denying all idols other than Allah. So he did not say it. Whereas the Muslims of today, as Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned, such as Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned in his Qawaid al-Arba, the mushrikun of today, they don't know the true meaning of La ilaha illallah. They don't know the true meaning of La ilaha illallah because they say it. They say it, but they still contradict it with their actions. They still contradict it, the true meaning of La ilaha illallah, with their actions. Naam. So the author rahimahullah ta'ala mentions Al-Islam, and he mentioned the three branches, which is Al-Islam, Wal-Iman, Wal-Ihsan. And Al-Iman, so we finished Al-Islam. Al-Iman, as was mentioned in the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, Al-Iman is and to believe in Allah and His Malaika and His books and His prophets and the last day and divine decree. This is Al-Iman, and it's taken from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the scholars mention that even in the Quran, you have different levels of the believer. such as Surah Fatir. In Surah Fatir, the 32nd verse, Allah Ta'ala says, ثُمَّ أَوْرَثْنَا الْكِتَابَ الَّذِينَ اسْتَفَيْنَا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا فَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدٌ وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقٌ مِنْ الْخَيْرَاتِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَضْلُ الْكَبِيرُ. In Surah Fatir, the 32nd verse, Allah Ta'ala says, then we gave the book those who we preferred from our servants. Then we gave the book to those who we preferred from our servants. From amongst them are those who have wronged themselves. From amongst them are those who have wronged themselves. The ulama say, those are people who entered into Islam, but they did not seek perfection. They did not increase. They did not increase. So they are at the lowest level, which is al-Islam. فَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدٌ. And then you have those who are in the middle. فَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدٌ. You have those who are in the middle. Those are the people that have reached Iman. وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقٌ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. And then you have those who are racing toward good deeds. And these are the people that have reached Ihsan. As in the hadith of Jibreel, where Jibreel said to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, what is Ihsan? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "I said, 'And ta'bud Allah ka'annaka tarahu, fa in lam takun tarahu, fa innahu yarak.' To worship Allah as if you see Him, you cannot see Allah, but verily He sees you. But verily He sees you." So even in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned this affair of three levels. This affair of three levels, and every level has its. And every level has its conditions. And the conditions are, as we mentioned, the conditions or the pillars, Afwan. The pillars of Islam is the five pillars. Bearing witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah and Muhammad and the Messenger of Allah, to perform the Salat, to give the Zakat, to fast Ramadan, and to make Hajj. Those are the five pillars of Islam. The pillars of Iman are six. To believe in Allah, to believe in His angels, to believe in His books, to believe in His messengers, to believe in the final day, and to believe in divine decree, it's bad and it's good. Those are the pillars of Iman. And the pillars of Ihsan are one. The pillars of Ihsan are one. To worship Allah as if you see Him. You cannot see Allah, but you know that Allah sees you. That is the pillar of Al-Ihsan. And the scholars, or the author, Rahimullah Ta'ala, goes on to say, وَتَفْسِيرُهَا الَّذِي يُوَدِّهُهَا. And the explanation of the Shahada, which clarifies it, is the statement of Allah in Surah Zukhruf. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ إِنَّنِي بَرَاءٌ مِنْكُمْ بَرَاءٌ مِمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي فَإِنَّهُ سَيَهْدِينِ وَجَعَلَهَا كَلِمَةً بَاقِيَةً فِي عَقِبِهِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. The statement of Ibrahim, and you have many statements of Ibrahim. You have many statements of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in the Quran, where Ibrahim is calling his people to Tawheed. And that's why he's considered Abu al-Anbiya, is because every prophet who came after him was from his lineage. Every prophet who came after Ibrahim was from the lineage of Ibrahim. And this is one thing that we should encourage our children to be upon in the schools and at home and the likes, because Ibrahim, his story as a child was a major story. His story as a child was a major story. He was a young boy, but he was upon Tawheed. He was a young boy, and he was giving da'wah. And you can take many benefits from the life of Ibrahim taken from the Quran. From the story of Ibrahim taken from the Quran. A child being firm upon Tawheed. A child giving da'wah. A child calling people to Islam. A child not fearing the enemy. Not fearing the kuffar. A child having his own individual identity. And not going along with what the people, you know, the norm of the people. Ibrahim was upon pure Tawheed. And the people of his time was upon shirk. The people of his time were upon shirk. Ibrahim did not allow that to sway him. And he called the people to Tawheed. And he was placed in, you know, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was placed in a dangerous situation. You know, he was told the fire was being gathered. The fire was being gathered for him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned in the Quran, Kuni na, ya na kuni barda wa salaman ala Ibrahim. Oh fire, be cold, cool. And peace for Ibrahim. So this definitely shows you, you know, you can take a lot of benefits for the children and for the family from the life of Ibrahim taken from the Quran, alayhi salatu wasalam. So Ibrahim said to his father and to his people, you know, another benefit you get from this, how a Muslim you know, Muslim child would even go against their relative, their mother, their father, if they're not upon Tawheed. Not that they speak ill of them, not that they belittle them, not that they curse them, and the like of that, but no. But they're ready to free themselves from them if they do not come to Tawheed and they worship other than Allah Azza wa Jal. So Ibrahim, Allah mentioned about Ibrahim in Surah Zukhruf. Ibrahim said to his father, وَقَوْمِهِ إِنَّنِي بَرَاءُ مِمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ ذَعْنِي. That Ibrahim والسلام, said to his father and he said to his people, verily I am free from that which you worship. Verily I am free from that which you worship, except the one who has created me. Verily he will guide me. And Allah placed this statement after him so that the people can return. So this is something tremendous. Statement of Ibrahim, the stance of Ibrahim, the da'wah of Ibrahim, the firmness of Ibrahim, the courage of Ibrahim is something tremendous, and is something that we should teach to our family. Also the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قُلْ يَا أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ تَعَالَوْا إِلَى كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ أَلَّا نَعْبُدَ إِلَّا اللَّهَ وَلَا نُشْرِكَ بِهِ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَتَّخِذْ بَعْضُنَا بَعْضًا أَرْبَابًا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ فَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَقُولُوا اشْهَدُوا بِأَنَّا مُسْلِمُونَ. The statement of Allah in Surah Ali Imran. Shaykh Salih Fawzan Hafizullah Ta'ala mentioned هذه الآية من سورة آل عمران نزلت في وفد نجران نصارى الذين قدموا على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وناظروه وسألوه. This ayat in Surah Ali Imran, it was actually revealed about a tribe from the area of Najran. A tribe from the area of Najran, which is presently still in Saudi Arabia, and it's called Najran. And they were Christians. They were Arab Christians. And they came to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to Medina, and they debated with him. They debated with him, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and they questioned him. And there was debate, and there was questioning going back and forth. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam revealed the ayat, say to the Christians, say to the people of the book, come together. Let's agree on a statement between us and you that we do not worship other than Allah. Because who do they worship? They worship Jesus alayhi salatu wasalam. They worship Jesus' mother. So let's agree on something. We worship nothing other than Allah. And we will not commit any partners with him. And we will not take our monks and our priests as deities other than Allah. So this was what the Prophet ﷺ said to them. They continued to go back and forth until they rejected the Prophet. Then the Prophet ﷺ, the following verse was revealed. The following verse was revealed. فَقُلْ تَعَالُوا نَجْعُ أَبْنَاءَنَا وَأَبْنَاءَكُمْ وَنِسَاءَنَا وَنِسَاءَكُمْ وَأَنفُسَنَا وَأَنفُسَكُمْ ثُمَّ نَبْتَهِلْ فَنَجْعَلْنَا عَلَى صَلَّهِ عَلَى الْكَاذِبِينَ. When it became, you know, elongated, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, let's call our fathers and our women and ourselves and our children, and then let's put the curse of Allah upon the one who is lying right now. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them, right now, we're going back and forth with this. If you fear that you're upon the haq and you fear that I'm upon batil, let's call all of our people and let's place the curse of Allah upon the person who's lying. Shaykh Salih Fawzan says, فَلَمَّا طَلَبَ مِنْهُ الْمُبَاهَلَةِ خَافُوا وَلَمْ يُبَاهَلُوا عَلَيْهِ وَلَمْ يُبَاهِلُوهُ. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this to them, they became fearful. And they refrained from putting the curse of Allah upon the liar. Why? Shaykh Salih Fawzan says that. وَدَفَعُوا لَهُ الْجِزْيَةَ. They paid the poor tax. لِأَنَّهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُمْ عَلَى بَاطِلٍ. Because they know that they are upon falsehood. وَأَنَّهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. And they know that he is the messenger of Allah. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sought from them, okay, let's, instead of going back and forth, let's call all of our people, our women, our children, ourselves, and let's place the curse of Allah. Let's supplicate right now. They stopped. نَدْعُوا بِاللَّعْنَةِ عَلَيْكَ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi said, what they would do is that they would supplicate for the curse of Allah to be upon the one who is lying. وَكَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُمْ هُمُ الْكَاذِبُونَ. But they know that they were lying. يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. Allah says in the Quran that they knew the Prophet just like they know their own children. They knew that he was coming. They knew his characteristic. They knew what he would call to. They knew his description. They knew even the land that he was coming to, the Jews from Iran and the Jews from some different parts of Saudi Arabia at that time, they were present in being a waiting time, because it was mentioned in their books that he would come to a land that has a lot of date palms. It was mentioned in their books that he would come to a land that has a lot of date palms. So they were waiting for him in Medina. When he finally came out in Medina, when he finally arrived in Medina, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they rejected him. Some of them accepted. Abdullah bin Salam accepted him. The others rejected. Abdullah bin Salam said, he's the one that we were waiting for. They said, no, he's not from our lineage. He's from an Arab lineage. He's not from our lineage. He's from an Arab lineage. That's it. But he was the one that we were waiting for. He was the one that was described in our books. He was the one that we know better than we know our children. Or just like we know our children. And they rejected him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sheikh Sadr Fawzan says, وَلَوْ بَاهَدُوهُ لَنَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ النَّارُ وَأَحْرَقَتْهُمْ فِي مَكَانِهِمْ. If they would have suffocated, the fire would have descended upon them, and Allah would have burned them in their own places. In their very places, Allah would have burned them. Why? Because they knew that they were lying. So why did they? They said, no, we won't supplicate against ourselves, but we will pay to you the poor tax. Why? Why not supplicate if you're upon the haq? Because they know that they were upon the batin. Now, this is that which we have for tonight's lesson, and inshallah ta'ala, next week we will continue with the remaining, portion. Inshallah ta'ala, Allah knows best. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa barakatuh. Nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.